Good evening and welcome to this sacred hour of worship. Let us begin with prayer. We ask that the Holy Spirit would bless each of us and those beside us, and through this service the world, as we receive the scripture in silence and sacrament.
Staying in the place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. The first reading is taken from Romans chapter 13. Brothers and sisters, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 112. Blessed the one who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. He dawns through the darkness a light for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 14. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Several years ago, I had a home-based business teaching violin lessons to students whose parents would bring them to my home after school. This was enjoyable for me until I began receiving complaints from clients about their experiences with my neighbor's dogs. They said things like, "The dogs chase our car, and we're afraid to get out of the car just to come to your front door for you to come and let us in for lessons." On one occasion, a mother said, "One of the dogs jumped into our car, and we thought our kid was going to be attacked." Over time, as I heard these stories, I began to accumulate an account against these dogs and my neighbors. Because it was my actual income, I literally felt owed. But according to today's reading from Romans, we're told to owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. So I am the one who should be owing, and I owe love. However, what I really wanted to know from this passage was how to love. It gave me these guidelines of don't do this and don't do that, but love your neighbor as yourself. I wanted the how-to. What do I do to cultivate this love of neighbor? After pondering this for several days, I finally decided to consult the commentaries to see if there might be something useful there. In volume 2, I found this. "Let me remind you that so much of the work consists in getting rid of things, of stopping things, of not doing. For instance, if you have some well-developed systems of negative emotion or depression in you, it is useless to say, 'Well, what should I do instead?' It is necessary to see through self-observation and continually separate from through non-identification the hypnotic power of these well-developed systems of negative emotion. You may be sure that something else will gradually take their place if you clear away the dirt. You may feel new feelings, perhaps true love of neighbor, that you could not have imagined. But the task is that the dirt must be cleared away to expose the new. That is where practical work on oneself lies. It is not a question of what should I do, which is what I wanted to know, but what should I not do?" So this commentary directly challenged my notion that there was a how-to or what I should do when it comes to loving my neighbor. And it tells me that I am the one with the well-developed negative emotions, but it also points to the possibility of new feelings. While in Romans, Paul addresses specific behaviors from the Ten Commandments, for example, and laws that might impede the flow of love in our lives, the gospel reading examines entire value systems that might need to be challenged. Father Keating directly addresses the gospel passage from Luke in his book, Invitation to Love, when he says, "Jesus directs strong words to people at the mythical membership level. 'If anyone comes to me without turning his back on his mother, his wife, his children, her brothers, indeed her very self, she cannot be my follower.' The text urges us to refuse to be locked into a conformity that prevents us from following the values of the gospel." A little spider friend here. Let's see. I find my spot. Spiders creep me out sometimes. As we grow, our relationships to ourselves, God, and other people change. We continue to love them, but if they want us to do something against our values, we must be able to say, I love you, but I can't go along with you in this matter. In light of this passage from the commentaries and from Father Keating's unpackaging of the gospel reading from Luke, I would revision the thou shalt not section from Romans this way. Not identify with well-developed systems of negative emotions, and don't allow yourself to be overly entangled or identified with the value systems of your primary groups of origin when they contradict those of the gospel. New feelings will become a possibility. Speaking of new feelings, what about this love? Where is that going to come from? How does that enter? In Open Mind, Open Heart, it says, to use a clumsy simile, in tenement houses where the garbage collection is unreliable, some tenants use the bathroom to store the garbage. If you want to take a bath, the first thing you have to do is empty out the junk. A similar procedure holds in centering prayer. When we commit ourselves to the spiritual journey, the first thing the Spirit does is start removing the emotional junk inside of us. Spirit wishes to fill us completely, to transform our entire body-spirit organism into a flexible instrument of divine love. I get it now. So there's nothing that I actually do to manifest, create, or generate this experience of love of neighbor. I simply consent to becoming available to divine love, and love for my neighbor will be the transformational work of the Spirit in me. When I practice centering prayer, I am practicing the not doing, or rather the turning away from, the accounts of feeling owed, of resentments, of self-pity, and instead turning to the one who does the transformational work of healing and divine love in me. When I practiced self-observation in retrospect around the account with my neighbor's dogs, I remembered that I too had a dog that was difficult to live next door to. I had a habit of letting my dog out at night and forgetting to let her back in. Her response to this was to howl very loudly when everyone else was trying to sleep. In fact, my neighbor once referred to her as the singer. I had to laugh at myself when I saw that, but I also felt some remorse, and I realized that thou art the man or thou art the woman was about me. The debt was instantly canceled. After my first Christmas Eve service here at the Church of Conscious Harmony many years ago, I was greeted and enthusiastically embraced by my neighbor's children. When I attended my first Simple Explanations of Work Ideas classes in this room, I sat there, and my neighbor sat in this chair, and I hung on to every word. When I served on the Eucharist committee, I was lovingly guided and trained by my neighbor. I hold my neighbors in the absolute highest regard, respect, and yes, love. I am profoundly grateful for their presence in my life. They owe me nothing. I owe them everything. Finally, the word that most spoke to me through the psalm reading is lavishly. Although it appears amid promises of abundance and mercy, I hear it through my quest for understanding the wish to love my neighbors as myself. My prayer is to be receptive to the energy of lavishly, that it may flow into and through all of us, that we may live in the paradigm of what God's lavishly means. I'm open to the possibility that God lavishly loves us and our neighbors lavishly through us.
give thanks to Frances for her leadership of the ministry of the Word tonight. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be lavish upon each of us. Amen.